We want to begin a sugya on Daf Gimel. Okay, then we're going to get back eventually to the Gemara that we started with about brachot. Bli neder, I don't want to take a neder on that. But for now, we want to look at a Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, this Gemara begins towards the bottom of the page. I would say the last third. And if you're counting down in the classical Gemaras from the wide lines, and you'll help me here for those who have a Steinsaltz in front of them.
Is it
a Vahashta? Vahashta, exactly. That's line number 4 in the wide section on the bottom of page Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following. Vahashta di Amrit. Hashta means now. The Amrit that you've already established. And we're going back to a drasha. Now, a drasha means when we take a verse, we take a pasuk, and we literally take it apart, rip it apart, word for word, and derive different meanings from that verse. And in this case, the pasuk that we're looking at is in Esther, Perek Tes, pasuk Chavches. I'll read to you the pasuk just so that you have it in your background. It'll probably ring a bell. Megillah Esther, towards the end of the Megillah, describes the enactment, the establishment of the days of Purim, and it says, "Vahayomim ha'ela," and these days nizkarim v'nasim are remembered. That means through the reading of the Megillah, v'nasim, and are observed through all the mitzvos of Purim, bechol dar v'dar, in every single generation, mishpacha u'mishpacha, in every family, medina u'medina, in every state, v'ir v'ir, in every city. V'yemei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim v'zichram lo yosef mizara. What we have to focus on in this pasuk are two words, mi'mishpacha u'mishpacha. Mishpacha u'mishpacha means one family and another family. As far as the other pairs of words, excuse me, for example, medina, medina, and ear for ear, that the Gemara addressed earlier and came to the conclusion basically that these extra words, these superfluous double phrases, are coming to teach us laws about somebody who is, he lives outside of a walled city, when does he observe Purim, or if he lives with inside of the walled city, when does he observe Purim. Maybe someday we'll get to talk about that. But we're interested now in mishpacha u'mishpacha. Why that language? Why does the Megillah have to emphasize that the observance of the day and the mitzvahs therein are related to every family in Israel? So that's what we say. Hashta diyamit, now that you've told medino medina v'ir v'ilij rasha, you've explained and justified the words medina, medina, and ir, vir for your drasha, for your derivation. Drasha means the halacha that we derived, which relates to someone who lives here and he observes Purim there, so forth and so on. Mishpacha u mishpacha lemai asa. Lemai for what? Asa, does it come? What does this pasuk, mishpacha, mishpacha, come to teach us? Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina. Lehavi, this comes to include mishpachos, kehuna, ulevia. Even the families of the Kohanim and the Levium. And the obvious question, if I would stop right now, is what? What would you ask?
Why not?
Why do you need a pasuk to teach me that Kohanim and Levium are included in the mitzvah of Purim? Specifically in the mitzvah of Megillah, of reading the Megillah? So the Gemara goes on, because I stopped Rabbi Yossi in the mid-sentence, which wasn't a nice thing to do. And he says, Shemivatlim avodosam. We'll come back to this in just a second. Uboim lishmoa mikra megillah. That they have to be mavatel. Now, I'm afraid to translate that word be mavatel, because it really lends itself to a number of different translations. And those interpretations will depend upon different views of how to understand this Gemara. So let's just say in a more general sense, mevatlim avodosam means that they will not fulfill, so that non-fulfillment is the word bitel, that's bet tet lamed batel, which means non-fulfillment, of avodosam, of their service. We know that the Kohanim served in the Mikdash. We know that the Levim likewise were part of this process of the bringing of the Karbanos, although they didn't actually do what's called Hakrava. You know, they didn't bring the Karban onto the Mizbeach. They didn't, sprinkle the blood. They didn't get involved in all the, burning the parts of the Karban on the Mizbeach. That wasn't their job. But the Levim had a different job. What was their job? They were singing, right? Weren't they singing the Shira? While the karma was being brought, they were involved in singing. And that's a great avoda. So they have to be mavatel that avoda. Why? Uboim, and they come lishmoa mikra megillah, to come and listen to the hearing of the megillah. The impression you get initially from the words of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is that we have here a situation of conflict. This is common in halacha, where you have two things that are pulling you in two different directions. In this case, the Kohanim and the Levim are being torn apart in two different directions. They have to choose either A or B. For some reason, the Gemara postulates that you cannot reconcile the two. You cannot fulfill both obligations simultaneously. One has to give way to the other. What two obligations are being simultaneously imposed upon the Kohanim and the Levim? Number one, the obligation that applies the whole year round of what? Avodah, right? Avodah. And number two, the obligation on this specific day of Purim to come and hear the Megillah. When I say the day of Purim, I choose my word deliberately. We're not talking about the night of Purim now, because there's no avoda at night. The Beis HaMikdash is closed for business at night. But when it opens the next morning with daybreak, the Kohanim Levim have to be there bright and early to start the avoda. In fact, the first major carbon that's brought in the Mikdash is the carbon Ola, which is called the Tamid Shel Boker. And that has to be brought immediately with daybreak. So the Kohanim and Levim have to be involved in their fulfillment of their mitzvah avodah, and at the same time, the congregation is gathering together for the reading of what? Of the Megillah, because it's the day of Purim, and they can't juggle the two. So if I were to ask you the following question, I need an intuitive response. Which would you say is greater? In other words, if you have two mitzvahs, A and B, and one has to kowtow to the other, and has to sort of remove itself in deference to the other mitzvah, so the lesser mitzvah, so to speak, has to give way to the greater mitzvah, then obviously, which of these two mitzvahs would you put on a higher level? Yeah, the avoda. Yeah. Well, which comes first, a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Let's start with that. The mitzvah of avodah is clearly one of the 613 mitzvahs. In fact, it's more than one. It's a whole matrix, a whole slew of mitzvahs that make up the mitzvah of avodah. And certainly with the Levim.
But it's the timing of it, the writer.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. But let's assume for one moment, this is a very naive premise, but it makes it easier to get through this Gemara. The naive premise that I want to assume in learning this Gemara is that whatever that time period is, we'll call it X, or we'll call it time T1, that time period is identical for both Avodah and Megillah. Again, we're going to rip this apart, but let's not jump the gun. You know, we're going to be flooded by too many factors at once, and then we'll just lose it. So let's assume in a very simplistic way right now that daybreak is at 7 a.m., and the Megillah reading is called for 7 a.m., and the Avodah has to begin at 7 a.m., and it's impossible to do both, and it's an either-or situation. And to our great surprise, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, we're about to get to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm jumping the gun myself over here. Rabbi Yossi says that in this choice decision between Megillah reading on the one hand and Avodah on the other hand, which gets first dibs, to our surprise? Megillah, correct? Megillah has to be the kingpin over here. And we're going to have to remove Avodah for the time being, for the sake of what? of reading the Megillah. And this applies to the Mishpachos of Kahuna and Leviyah. Not only that, but let's read one more line in the Gemara. It's going to even apply to Yisrael. How does it apply to Yisrael? I'm not, you know, very often I come into a shul, they say to me, are you a Kohen? I say no. Are you a Levi? No. And then they stop asking me questions. I guess they figure if I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levi, I must be a Yisrael. So what relationship does Yisrael have to the Beis HaMikdash? What avodah does Yisrael have in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Kohanim ba'avodosam, Ulevim biduchanam, v'Yisrael b'ma'amodam, Kulam all of the above, Mevatlim avodosam, they put their avodah on the back burners, Uboyin, and they come lishmoa to participate in Mikra Megillah, hearing the public reading of the Megillah. Now, let's take it apart. Kohanim ba'avodosam, we understand. That means the Kohanim are involved in the Avodas HaMikdash. Levim b'duchanam, the word duchan means an itzaba. An itzaba in the Lashon of Shas means a platform. While the Kohanim were doing the Avoda on the Mizbeach, the Levim were standing on this platform. This is called a duchan. Right, even to this day, we use the word duchan as something that's raised from the ground. It was pretty high. It was, I think, about 4 feet up from the ground. And on that duchan, the Levim used to stand, and they brought the musical instruments, and there was a beautiful symphony that would accompany the bringing of the korbanot. But then it says, V'Yisrael b'ma'amadan. What does that mean? So, to know the answer to that question, you have to know a pasuk. I don't know how many of you actually read through korbanos in the morning before davening. I mean, don't be embarrassed if you're part of the... Yeah, part of that. Look, don't be embarrassed, because you probably belong to the, how shall I say, the preponderant majority of Jews who just don't bother saying korbanos. But if you do happen to say korbanos, there is a pasuk. Anybody have a, even a sitter would be good for me. Okay. It says, Tishmu, what does it say over there? Okay, thank you so much. Now when you say this pasuk, hopefully you'll say it every day, it'll have more meaning to you after this discussion about Yisrael b'ma'amadam. The Torah says, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yamata leihem es korbani. This is the korban tamid that's brought every day. And it says over here, Tzaves b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael sounds like it's referring to the entire congregation of Israel. It doesn't say Tzaves b'nei Aaron, which is a more classic phrase for avoda. And then it says, Tishmeru lahakriv li b'ma'ado. Tishmeru means be scrupulous, it says here in the English. It means being careful. The word shmirah always entails some sort of care. Now, what relationship, what halachic significance does this pasuk Tishmeru have? Thank you very much. And the answer is that since the tamid is not a private karban, which is brought on behalf of any individual, but rather it's what kind of karban?
Public.
Public in Lashon Kodesh, what's that called? A karban? Don't all answer at once, because I can't... No, it's called tzibur. You've heard the word tzibur. So there are two types of karbanot. There's a karban yachin and a karban tzibur. The classical case of a karban tzibur is the karban tamid. Now, if the karban is a karban tzibur, it's being brought on behalf of everyone. The entire tzibur. Now, if the Torah therefore says Tishmeru, it means that the entire community, congregation of Israel, has to oversee the bringing of that korban. Again, they're not actually involved in the Avodah, because they're not Kohanim and Levim, but nevertheless the Torah says Tishmeru. They have to be there on the spot. Again, the closest they can get is what's called the Azara, Ayin Zayin Reshe, the Azara, and they have to stand in the Azara. Now, is it possible? I mean, don't be a smart aleck. Just tell me straight. Is it possible to get all the people of Klal Yisrael into the Azara to oversee on a daily basis one day after the other? I mean, don't even talk to me about someone who lives all the way up in Dan or down in Be'er Sheva. I mean, even if you live in Yerushalayim, what are you going to tell me, that every day I got to show up? So there was a takanas hanavim. The early prophets made an institution, and they instituted an arrangement that would allow the fulfillment of this mitzvah of Tishmeru, so that Klal Yisrael would be there to oversee the sacrifice of the tzibur, of the entire community.
Well, representative.
Exactly. And that's called ma'amados. Ma'amados are those Jews representing the entire congregation of Israel who are chosen, I'll explain that word in just a minute, hang in there, to stand in the Azara at the time that these carbon seamers are brought. Now, how did they do it? What did the early prophets establish? They divided up the people of Israel into 24 groups. Those are called the Chaf Dalid Ma'amados. Now, the Kohanim were also divided into 24 groups, and each group would take 1 week in a half a year, in which that group of Kohanim was in charge of the Avodah, and another week in the other half of the year. Again, there were special pews and divisions on Yontif, but basically for the 48 weeks of the year, you had these 24 ma'amados. Now, parallel to every one of the ma'amados, or the groups of the Kohanim, who were in charge of the Avodas HaKorban during their week, and again another week in the other half of the year, there was a parallel group of ma'amados of Yisraelim, primarily, predominantly Yerushalmites, because they wanted to make it easier for the people. So they gave first choice to the Yerushalmites, those who lived in Yerushalayim, that they would be able to take, it's sort of like their jury duty, and come forward for their week of Mamad, and they would stand right there at sunset, immediately at sunrise, over in the Azara, overseeing, as it were, the bringing of the Karbanos. Now, what did they do most of the day? How did they spend their time? For that, you'd have to learn a long sugya in Masechet Ta'anit. What certain days they fasted, and so they prayers and brachos. And so there's a whole long, intricate discussion about the observance of the Anshei Mamad, the Yisraelim, the non-Kohanim, non-Levim, whose turn it was in this rotation system to take their week and be Mekayim as representatives of the entire community of Israel, the mitzvah of Tishmeru. Fine. So Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, points out that who has to desist, for lack of a better word, who has to undermine his avoda and come to hear the Megillah? Three. Number one, the Kohanim. Number two, the Levim. And number three, the Israeli. All those would get, well, let's call it a day off, a break in their normal avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, for the sake of hearing what? Of hearing the Megillah. And once again, we come back to our original question, how is it so that the mitzvah of Megillah is so powerful that it overrides, it trumps the mitzvah of Avodah in three cases, both for the Kohanim, for the Levim, and for the Israelim? Now I know what you'll tell me, well, it says in the Pasuk, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, which means all the Mishpachas be Israel, no matter whether you were on duty that week or not, but nevertheless the rational mind seeks and craves some sort of explanation as to why the mitzvah of Megillah is so significant and so powerful that it could override, as it were, the mitzvah of Avodah. Rashi, unfortunately, leaves us in the dark. He has something to say about Yisrael b'ma'amadim, which more or less we summarized without reading the Rashi. We'll read it inside, just as a matter of course. V'Yisrael b'ma'amadim, says Rashi, omdim, they stand al tmideh, over the tmideh tzibur, the carbon tzibur, which is called the tamid, b'shas hakrova, b'shas hakarbon, at the moment that this carbon tzibur is brought, they're there to observe and make sure and supervise the bringing of the carbon. Kidisnan, as it says in the Mishnah, b'mesechet ta'anit, tishmeru, what do we derive from the word tishmeru? Lahakruv libe mo'ado, heich shomer, how do we do this? He's got to stand over the carbon. But how could all of Klal Yisrael enter into the Azara simultaneously on a daily basis? It's not feasible. Tiknu Nevi'im. What does Tiknu mean? They established it. HaRishonim, the early Rishonim. There are many different aspects of our religious observance that date back to the period of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im had their own courts, and they were the heads of the court. They took the initiative, the leadership role, and they passed certain legislation. This is one of those examples. Chaf Dalet Mishmaros, 24 groups of Ma'amados of Yisraelim, I'll call Mishmar, Mishmar Hoya Ma'amod, V'chuli, Rashi says, take a look. So in this case, in order to make some progress in this Gemara, I feel it necessary, and I hope you will be right with me on this, to learn Tosfot. It's on the top of page Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Tosfos is the first one on the page, and it starts with the words Mevatlim Kohanim Me'avodosam Lishmar Mikra Megillah. Now, mind you, Tosfos doesn't raise our question, at least not explicitly. And namely, why is it that Megillah overrides Avoda? That's our primary question. That's what we want to focus on. But rather, he asks a different question. And that is, why is there a problem over here? Why are we assuming that the Avoda is so time-consuming, or that Mikra Megillah is so time-consuming, that in the course of a day, it's impossible to fulfill both? V'koshe, I don't understand, says Tosfos. Amai, why mevatlim? Why is it necessary to undermine the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Avoda for the sake of Megillah? Why can't you have your cake and eat it? Why can't you show up in the synagogue? You're a Kohen, you're a Levi, you're Israel, you're on duty, you're on call, but show up in the synagogue.
If the Gemara wanted to talk about
Achar HaKriya, let's say we said before in our paradigm that daybreak was at 7 a.m. The Megillah will take how long? I mean, again, it depends how many children are there to yell, to do the Rosh Hanim over there for Haman. But let's say it takes, I'll grant you, 40 minutes. That's a very long amount of time. That's not a full day from 7 till 5, right? Or later on in Purim time, it's even later. Follow Achar HaKriya, after he finishes hearing the Megillah, Yesh Harbe, what's Harbe? There's a lot of Shahut. What does Shahut mean? Time. There's an extension of time. Lavoda. To serve in the Migdash. So let's say in the worst case scenario, we can delay the bringing of the Karban Tamid for an hour, to allow all the Kohen and Levim and Yisraelim are on call in the Migdash to go hear the Megillah. Maybe they would have a Migdash reading in the Megillah. Find some Lishka, some corner over there, get together and have their own Kriyas HaMegillah, and then they'll do the Avodah.
They could do it next to the Mizbeach, just before doing the Avodah.
Well, yeah, okay, the Yisraelim are in the Azara, but yeah, they'll find a place. In any event, it doesn't seem to be any logical reason. Again, this is not our question. We were asking a totally different question that I want to address after we finish with this Tosfos Bli Neder, as to why the Avodah gets pushed aside for the sake of Megillah. But Tosfos is asking a more fundamental technical question, mechanically. He doesn't understand why. What's the premise here that you have to undermine the mitzvah of Avodah for the sake of Megillah? You don't have to do that. Just push it off a little bit. V'yesh lomar. And Tosfos suggests the following answer. The kevan de misheheir hayom, since the moment of daybreak, heir miloshen ar, when the light of day breaks through, havi zman Avodah, this is the time for the service in the Migdash. With daybreak, the Kohanim flood the Migdash with the Levim and the Yisraelim on the Ma'amados, and they have to perform the Avodah. That is the Zman Avodah. So again, please emphasize those two words, Zman Avodah. This is the time designated for avodah, he identifies the zman avodah with hayir hayom vehem, but they will not be able to fulfill the avodah at the zman of avodah. Why not? Menichem osah, they leave it b'shvil akriya, in order to hear what? The Megillah. Mishum hachi, therefore, karilei beetle. The word beetle, says Tosfos, which means in this context postponement, is not what it usually means. And Tosfos justifies this unusual use of the word beetle to mean let's push off the avodah, because Tosfos identifies the Zman Avodah as Mishaheir Hayom, as the time in which day begins. Let's go over this. Tosfos' premise is A, the Avodah begins with daybreak. B, that time is not just the beginning of the Avodah. That's not just the kickoff, and then it stretches on. Right, there are many mitzvahs that I have to fulfill within the day, but I'm not limited to a specific pinpoint of particular time in the day. Tosfos says, no, my second premise is that the Zman Avodah is Mishaheir Hayom. Tosfos' third premise is that since we will not be able to fulfill, the Kohanim, for example, will not be able to fulfill their obligation of Hakrava Bizman Havodah at the time of the Avodah, therefore, we can justify the use of the word beetle. Mevatlim karnim meavodasam lishma mikra megillah. What does the word beetle mean? They will cancel the zman ha'avodah. Now, I don't understand what's going on in this Tosfos. Canceling the zman ha'avodah? The zman ha'avodah begins with Heyer Hayom, but it doesn't terminate until the Mikdash closes with nightfall. Why does Tosfos, what's the logic of Tosfos? I understand what forces Tosfos. His back is against the wall. He's compelled to assume that Heyer Hayom must be the zman ha'avodah. Otherwise, the whole sugya, this whole Gemara makes no sense. Why is this called Mevatlim? Just wait an hour. Go hear them. No, if you wait an hour, it says Tosfos, then that's called bittul, because you are vitiating, you are non-compliant, not fulfilling the Zman Avodah. But why? I mean, again, I understand what motivates Tosfos, but why should we identify Heyer Hayom as the Zman Avodah? By the way, according to Tosfos, what would be if there's a later Kriya Samigila? Tosfos says that they have to postpone the Zman Avodah because they have to hear the Megillah. Well, what would be if there's a second reading of the Megillah? Well, let's say the Jews in that town don't get up so early. You know what I mean? There's like a, it's like a shtivel laning, you know, later on. So what would Tosfos seem to imply in such a case? Then there's no problem. Let them hear the Megillah and do the Avodah and fulfill both. The problem here is that there's one minion. There's one possibility, one opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And when does that opportunity for Megillah fall out? Mishaheir Hayom, the exact same time as Zman HaVodah. That's called Bittul. Now, I have a Gemara here, which is really a modern, you know, this is like the cutting edge Gemara. It's called the Masifta. And when you get to the level, I highly recommend it. Or if you want to buy it as a gift for someone. I mean, you can't buy the whole set unless you're very wealthy. But at least buy it, you know, one by one. So my son bought me this Gemara Megillah. And on this Tosfos, the editorial staff of scholars who published this Gemara, they write that the meaning of this Tosfos is Zrizim makdimim lemitzvos. What does that mean, Zrizim makdimim lemitzvos? What does it mean to be a zariz? Avraham Avinu gets commanded in the midst of Mila. When does he get up to do the Mila, the Torah says? Vayashkem Avraham Bavoker. Says the Gemara. In Psachim, Daftali, the Gemara says, Mikan zrizim makdimim lemitzvos. A person should be a zariz. He should be very excited and motivated and he should wake up early and take the first opportune moment to implement the mitzvah. Good, that's nice. That's certainly an embellishment to the mitzvah. It's kind of like buying a beautiful esrog, you know. But I wouldn't say that that makes Heyer Hayom the Zman HaVoda. Again, Tosis identifies the Zman HaVoda as Heyer Hayom, as daybreak. That cannot be based on Zrizim Akdimu LeMitzvah. Zrizim Akdimu LeMitzvah, again, if all things are equal, it's a nice thing, it's very highly recommended to observe and fulfill a mitzvah at the first possible moment. So therefore, for example, with the bris milah, we will try as much as we can to make the bris early in the morning. Again, there are all sorts of reasons you might postpone it. People have to come, you have to get the mail, maybe he's busy with other milahs in town, whatever it is. But if all things in an ideal world, zrizim, akdim, lemitzvahs, chaperein, do it the first thing in the morning. But I wouldn't say that if a person delays the milah, you know, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, that therefore he is in violation of the mitzvah of milah. I wouldn't suggest that his mitzvah of milah is inferior just because he forfeited the kiyum of zrizim. So therefore, I don't believe that this is the correct shot in Tosfos. I don't think that Tosfos is identifying Mishaher Hayom as the Zman HaVoda because of Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs. That's not Pshat and Tosfos, according to my humble opinion. But I would say there's a different halacha that operates here. If I had a blackboard, I would write on the blackboard. It's called Chaviva Mitzvah Bishata. Okay, what does that mean? Chaviva Mitzvah Bishata. These are sugyas, these are gemaras in Kodshim, and specifically in a parak called Rabbi Yishmael Menachos, that talk about violating the Shabbos for the sake of Avodas HaKorban. There is a concept which is called Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, which means that the Ola, the Korban Ola of Shabbos, is brought on Shabbos, despite the fact that bringing that Korban entails a violation of numerous Molochos of labors, categories of labor on Shabbos. Oh. But it's not a violation because the Torah says Ola Shabbos B'Shabbat. Okay, fine. Now, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, let's have a Kohen, for the sake of Ola Shabbos B'Shabbat, to perform, to implement and fulfill the mitzvah of Ola Shabbos. But supposing, let me ask you a question, there are parts of the Avodah, or in my mind is one part of the Avodah at least, that could be postponed till after Shabbos. What would you say about that? What would be, again, your knee-jerk response if I would isolate one particular part of the mitzvah of Avodas HaKohen which tolerates delay until after Shabbos? And the carbon would be a perfectly kosher carbon even if that particular dimension of the Avodah would be implemented after Shabbos. What would you say? No, no, I'm not talking about Avar Zmano. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so you want to get specific? I'll tell you exactly what I have in mind. There's something called Haktaras Imurim. There are certain parts of the animal that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. That could be done at night. In fact, that's why we have Tefilas Arvis at night, according to the Omer Tefilos Keneged Karbanos Nitkenu. So we have Shachris because of the Tomid Shel Shachar, and we have Mincha because of the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim. What about Mayriv? So the Gemara says Mayriv is Keneged Haktaras Haimurim, which was done at night. So it means the following, that I can bring a carbon by day and burn the emurim at night with absolutely no loss to the carbon. The carbon will in no way be disqualified or impinged or limited or so forth.
Technically, that's on the following day.
Yeah, so I bring the carbon by day, it's Shabbos, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, the Torah requires me. But the Haktaras HaImurim could be done at night. So logically, I'm hoping that you're on the same page as I am, your intuitive response would be, hey, why would I bring the Imurim and burn them and violate the Shabbos again? Why can't I wait till after Shabbos? And the Gemara says no. And the Gemara, in order to explain why the Haktaras HaImurim will be implemented by day, meaning and violate the Shabbos, the Gemara quotes the principle of chaviva mitzvah b'shat. Not zriza matim l'mitzvahs. Zriza matim l'mitzvahs is a nice cherry on top. It's a very nice luxury item. It embellishes your mitzvah, enhances it, you'll get more brownie points, but I wouldn't say that if a person is not a zariz, it affects the basic kiyum mitzvah. The mitzvah is identical even without zrizas. Zrizas adds points on top. What should I say? It's like getting extra points on an exam. You know, you take the exam, and the professor offers you a possibility. If you add another essay, or you answer another question, you get extra points. That's Zrizah Makdim Limits, extra points. But if one student didn't answer the extra question, he'll still get a good grade. There's nothing fundamentally wrong or deficient in his performance. That's Zrizah Makdim Limits. But the Gemara in Menachos deliberately avoids quoting that principle, invoking mitzvah, zriza makdim l'mitzvah. Instead, it uses a different principle. Chaviva mitzvah b'shata. What does that mean? That's not a cherry on top. That's not a luxury. That's not an embellishment. That means a mitzvah should be done in its time. The time for Haktaras Imurim as part of the process of Hakrova is when you're ready for it. When you finish the Hakrova, now take the Imurim and burn them on the Mizbeach. True. If you don't do so, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Haktaras Imurim even at nighttime. But that would not be a fulfillment of the primary mitzvah, Bishata. Just give me 1 minute. Full swing back to our Gemara. If this be the case, then I begin to understand why the Gemara postulates a head-on collision between Kriyas HaMegillah on the one hand and Avodas HaKarbon on the other. Says Tosis, why? Let him hear the Megillah and do the Avod an hour later. Says Tosis, no. Mishaheir Hayom, with daybreak, that is the Zman HaAvodah. What does Tosis mean? Yeah, true. You could bring the carbon later on. But what will you be forfeiting? Chaviva mitzvah b'shata. And since chaviva mitzvah b'shata, as we proved from the fact that it overrides the Shabbos, is an integral part of the akrova, therefore Tosis says you could employ the concept of bittul here, because by delaying the avoda for 1 hour in order to hear the Megillah, you have undermined the mitzvah b'shata, or the way Tosis calls it, the zman havoda. See the second half of Tosis. Now Tosis says, v'yim tomar, v'yasu avodosam miyad. Your question. Why not postpone the mitzvah of Megillah? Since we've now established that zman avoda is misheheir ayom, good. So let's have our cake and eat it. You've determined that the Iker Zman Achiyu for Avodah is daybreak, so let's do it that way. But Megillah reading, let's postpone it. V'yesh lomar, detov likros imatzibur. But we would rather that he hear the Megillah together with a congregation. It's true. He could take out his own private Megillah, or borrow one, and read it privately. But he'd be forfeiting a Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur, which was done, doesn't have to be done, but that's when it was done, at daybreak. If the Megillah reading was later, that's what I asked you a few minutes ago, then there's no problem. Let him do the Avodah with daybreak, that's the Zman Avodah, and let him fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by hearing the public reading of Megillah at 8 o'clock. He doesn't have to. But if there's no public Megillah reading at 8 o'clock, there's only one at what? At 7. So tell him, let him do the Avodah at 7, and then at 8 he'll get his private reading, you know, he'll sit there with the cantor of the shul, the sexton of the shul, the shamash, he'll read it for him. Oh no, says Tosis. He's got to read it with the tzibur. Why? Mishum dehavi tfei persume nisa. The tfei means more, the enhanced. So the more people that are there, the greater is the enhancement of the publicizing the miracle. That's integral to the mitzvah of Megillah. Please turn for a moment to Daf Dalet, the sugya that we did a few weeks ago. And just to refresh your memory, Rashi says, this is the last line in Rashi on Daf Dalet Omid Aleph. Rashi says, Ukriyas HaMegillah Shemachu Shemefarsim Imesanes. Rashi says, everybody comes together to read the Megillah and praise God, thank God for the great miracle salvation. That publicizes the miracle. Vakol, emphasize that word vakol. What does vakol mean? Everyone. Everyone gathers together. This is a public gathering. It always bothered me, by the way, that in many communities, and including, you know, as I call my own, even my own community back home, I find that they have little pockets of people that read the Megillah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even on the same block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so look, if it's Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, Yemenites, I have next door to my house, there are three shuls. The first one is a Sfaradi shul, that's called a Davak shul. That's on number 18 Scholzen. And then the next one is the Yemenite shul. And the following one is the Dutch minion, the Yekis. You know, the what you call the Ashkenaz. Okay, so what can I tell you? You know, not that the Sfaradim read the Megillah so much differently than the Ashkenazim or vice versa, but maybe you can fetch it, you know, different minhagim. But when you have two Ashkenazic minyanim on the same block, sometimes you'll see shocking things. You'll see that they have a shul with a sliding door in the middle, and there's one Kriyas HaMegillah on this side and one on the other. I don't know, I'm not going to go into political explanations as to why they split, but that's not the way Megillah reading should be done. Obviously, we want to maximize the Pirsum HaNes by having one Kriya with many people. That's called Berov HaMahadras Melech. So Tosa says this is so integral to Megillah reading that even though you could fulfill the basic mitzvah by reading it privately, nevertheless, by forfeiting the ability, the opportunity to hear it in a great tzibur, you are lacking in a fundamental aspect of the kiyuma mitzvah, and you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah properly. This is a qualitative difference in the mitzvah of Megillah. It's not quantity, it's quality. And it's so qualitatively different that we're going to tell you, forget about the avoda for the time being. Even though the Zman Avodah is Mishaher Ayom, with daybreak, at 7 a.m. in our classical game, nevertheless, you're not going to fulfill the Avodah Mishaher Ayom. Why? Because of the mitzvah of Megillah. And what aspect is so critical here? Pirsum HaNes. We are beginning to see a little bit of the light, the daybreak, at the end of the tunnel, as to why Megillah reading overrides the mitzvah of Avodah. What concept has Tosus now sort of through the back door thrown into this mixture that now maybe gives me a little bit of a window through which I could see what aspect, what dimension of the mitzvah Megillah is so powerful here that it might even be mevatel the Avodah? And what's that? Pirsum HaNes. Now, let me quote to you another Gemara about Pirsum HaNes. Here's the question. Let's say you only have enough money to buy either a cup of wine for Kiddush on Friday night or oil for Ner Chanukah. What would you say about that? Which would you put first on the list? Which would take precedence if it was an either or situation? Kiddush ala Yayin or Ner
Chanukah?
I would have been inclined to say Ner Shav, Kiddush al Yayin. I mean, Kiddush al Yayin is a great mitzvah. It's Doraisa, it comes to the Pasuk Zochris, Yom HaShavos L'Kadsho. Yeah. Buy the cup of wine. The Gemara says Ner Chanukah Odif. Why? Mishum Pirsume Nisa. Oh, I'm beginning to get excited over here. Because we're beginning to see that the picture is gaining some, you know, the skeleton is gaining some flesh over here. Pirsum HaNes plays a great role. And it plays such a great role that it overrides the mitzvah of Kiddush al Yayin. And I'm beginning to think that if Pirsum HaNes plays such a great role in Ner Chanukah, then it probably should play the same kind of powerful role in the case of Mikra Megillah. Because Mikra Megillah, no less than Chanukah, is a kiyum of Pirsum HaNes. Not only that, I would even tell you more than that. That the breakthrough, you know, the original archetype of Pirsum HaNes is not Ner Chanukah. What came a few centuries before Ner Chanukah? Mikra Megillah. So Mikra Megillah is really the breakthrough. That is the paradigm of Pirsum HaNes. And it doesn't surprise me, therefore, that Pirsum HaNes could play such a powerful role when it's an issue of performing the Avodah later in the day, which Tosfos says means it's not the Zman Avodah, to use the terminology of Tosfos, and we added the Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shatah. Now, we have to ask ourselves the following question. But wait a second. I'm willing to grant you that Pirsum HaNes is worth a lot. I'm willing to grant you that on a scale, it could really be heavy weight on the scale, you know, to tip the scale in favor of Pirsum HaNes. But I have only one problem. And I think it's a fundamental problem that we should stop and think about. And that is that Mikra Megillah, with all due respect, is only a mitzvah derabbanan. How could it be, with all due respect to Pirsum HaNes, that a mitzvah derabbanan could override and push aside a mitzvah d'oraisa, in this case, of avodah? And the first one that I know to address this is the Ran. Where does the Ran address this? Interesting case. The Gemara has earlier an issue about a city which is walled. It has a choma, it has a wall around it. But we're not sure, we're not definite, whether that wall existed at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. When you have such a doubt, what's that called in halacha, in one word with three letters? A suffix. Okay. Now, what rules govern suffix? What do you do in a case of doubt? So we have two basic rules. First rule is suffix d'oraisa. L'achmer l'chum. Second rule is suffix d'rabbana. L'chum. So the Ran addresses this issue. And what bothers the Ran's mind? Because the Gemara tells us a story. I'll try to remember who it was. Give me a minute. About one particular Amora who was in a city called Hutzal, which was a suffix, and he read the Megillah on both days, once on Yudalit and once on Tesvav. Says the Ran, do you know why he did that? Not because of suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. Says the Ran, that's impossible. Megillah is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. He did it, says the Ran, because of midas hachasidus. Midas hachasidus means the following. Basically, he was obligated in reading the Megillah on Yudalit, on the 14th. Why? Because if we have a suffix, then we go bus a row. We look at most cities. Most cities are not walled from the time of Yoshua. And therefore, based on Rove, you assume that...
This one was Peter.
And even if it was 50-50, says the Ran, still the halach is, when you're 50-50, you do what most of the Jewish people do. That's the way the custom goes. Why did he read it a second time? Says the Ran, he only made the bracha on the first day. Mm-hmm. On the second day, he didn't make a bracha because his reading was a midas chasidus. For example, our yeshiva was in Mevaseret. Mevaseret is a very controversial place as far as Megillah reading is concerned, as are many other areas around Yerushalayim. There's something called Soma Fenira, and we're not sure exactly whether Mevaseret is Soma Fenira. The Rav of Mevaseret originally, back when, in the day, Paskin, that it's part of Yerushalayim. That's because there were no services in Mevaseret. It was a new town, and then they went to Yerushalayim for everything. Today, Mevaseret is a well-developed, sophisticated city. You know, you've got all your grocery shops and your supermarkets and your banks and your Kupat Cholim, and you have an Ethiopian, what do you call it, the center, you know, for Olim, Chadashim. You have everything in Mevaseret. What do you say?
An Aroma Cafe.
An Aroma Cafe, and in the mall you have, I mean, they used to have kosher McDonald's. I don't know if that exists anymore. They used to have Kentucky Fried Chicken that was kosher, but whatever it is, you have the mall, you have everything in Mevaseret. So it's a very controversial issue. And basically, the psak is, I'll whisper this so people shouldn't hear, that Mevaseret celebrates, observes Purim on the 15th, like Yerushalayim. However, the Hasidim, I don't mean Hasidim the way we use it today, but the Anshei Hasidus, will read the Megillah on the 14th, in addition to the 15th, but without a bracha. Because when you're doing
on the 14th,
I'm saying no bracha on the 14th. They can't. They don't have the power to undermine the psak of the Rav and his predecessor. You know, the Chacham of Mevaseret, and therefore they will have to read together with the entire tzibur on the 15th. But they take upon themselves a midat chasidut, and they'll read the Megillah on the 14th. What's the difference between the reading on the 14th and the 15th? Bracha. On the 14th, they'll leave out a bracha. Anyway, getting back to the Ran. So what do you see from the Ran? fundamentally, if you have a suffik, what principle should apply? Suffik derabbanan lekula. There's no need to read the Megillah on the 15th. However, it was done because of idat chasidut, says the Ran. If I apply that same logic here to the question of which comes first, Megillah reading or avodah, then I should certainly say that the Megillah reading has to be subservient, you know, has to step aside for the sake of the mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah shel Torah v'avodah. So the Ran is very hard pressed on this, and you know what he answers? He says that Nishkeferlich, it's not so bad. So he'll do the avodah after the reading of the Megillah. In other words, the Ran did not buy in to this whole structure that we were talking about, that the Zman HaVodah has to be Mishahera Yom and terrible things will happen if we delay it for an hour, says the Ran. But what would be, says the Ran, in a case where it really is an either-or situation? If some Metzias would come about in which it's either the Avodah or the Megillah reading, but you can't have both, you can't have your cake and eat it, no doubt that the mitzvah of Avodah would trump the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Why? Because the mitzvah of Avodah is d'oraisa, and the mitzvah of Megillah is only d'rabbanan. Alright, we'll stop.